Okay, we're learning the Haftorah for the Yom Tov of Pesach, and as I mentioned yesterday, this is known as the Haftorah of Pesach Gilgal, because here, Klal Yisrael brought a Korban Pesach for only the second time, after Mitzrayim and Baal Yisrael, which is in the Midbar. So they have one in Mitzrayim, one in the Midbar, and now the next Korban Pesach, which is here in Eretz Yisrael, right when they entered the land of Eretz Yisrael. So we learned yesterday that they did a bris milah. That's actually the greatest single part of the Haftarah, is the story of the bris milah, where all of Klal Yisrael did a bris. I mentioned to you, and I brought tonight Rabbi Hirsch's take on the Haftarah. It's just written so absolutely beautifully. He makes the point of the tremendous Mesiras Nefesh of Klal Yisrael and entering Eretz Yisrael, it being known that they came for purposes of war, and at that time to do a bris milah. So I'm going to trouble you to listen to, really, it's poetry, the way it's written in such beautiful English. As I said, I suspect some of the words I made up, but otherwise it's really beautiful. Well, I don't know if this one was in German. This is actually written by his son, by Shamshal Hirsch's son. It's very likely it was originally written here it is. I'm reading near the beginning. If it was a question of conquest through human military tactics, Ba'esahi, which is the beginning of the Haftarah, the Jewish general received an order to make his whole army, for the time being, hors de combat, in a condition unable to bear arms. Under such circumstances, could there be a more astonishing order? Was it not just an act of suicide, which such a singular command demanded of its men? Would they not be placing their wives and children in the most extreme danger? How quickly would the news of their self-inflicted helplessness spread among the nations, in whose immediate surroundings they were encamped, and their despondent lack of courage jumped to the wildest lust for battle. Against the defenseless, the most timid men, and the fate that once befell the pitiable inhabitants of Shechem. Is there such a word, pitiable? Inhabitants of Shechem, at the vengeful swords of just two men, would inevitably be theirs. It was a great act of unconditional devotion to God as the one leader, which was demanded by this command, and it was the most brilliant great act of obedience with which, in their fulfilling this command, Israel put the seal on their unlimited confidence in God. Just as once before the fathers, at the first Pesach in Egypt, and by the act of the Shabbos HaGadol, the 10th of Nisan, by obeying the command of God and boldly risking the sure resulting fury of their powerful tyrants, had to prove the worthiness, he's referring to the fact that they took the Karban Pesach, in the same way, a similar proof was demanded from the sons before the very first Pesach in their destined land, and accomplished by them as a great deed of national renown. It was a glorious triumph for the education which God had given them during the 40 years wandering in the wilderness. The children of Israel showed that they had taken to heart the lesson of the fate of their fathers resting in their graves in the wilderness. Expression. Anyway, the point he's making is this point, that they came to do battle. Everyone knew they came to do battle, and they did a bris milah on a million men in one shot. And that was the devotion to the Rabbeinu Shalalam, which preceded this Korban Pesach. Excuse me? You think I said a better last night? I'm sorry. Okay, we're up to Pasuk Yud. V'yachnu be'Yisrael ba'Gilgal. Klal Yisrael, actually I skipped the Pasuk test I think I didn't do last night. The Pasuk preceding Pasuk. V'yemer Shemel Yeshua, Hayoyim galoisi escherpas Mitzrayim me'aleichem. Today I have taken away the shame of Egypt from on you, v'yikur shema makemu Gilgal ad hayoyim aseh. Now, the shame of Mitzrayim was the following. There are two aspects here. That one is the simple pshat, and one is a more beautiful vart, a good vart for the Seder. And the simple pshat is what Rashi brings in Chumash. Paray said, Ru'u kira nege penechem. He saw through his astrology that the Jews were headed to blood, which he understood to mean the blood of destruction. That cherpas Mitzrayim turned out to be the blood of Brismila. So that's how Rashi and Chumash actually explains this pasuk. Explained Rashi and Yeshua as well, that cherpas Mitzrayim me'aleichem is this vision that the Egyptians had seen, that there would be blood when they go. They understood it to be the blood of destruction. Actually, it's the blood of Mila. There's another pshat. Cherpas Mitzrayim is avodah zarah. There's a beautiful insight into the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach is the only Korban we have where it does not say Reach Dichayach. It doesn't say that this Korban is a Reach Dichayach to Hashem. And that's mysterious. You would think the Korban Pesach is the most Reach Dichayach of all of the Korbanos. So there's an explanation based on the Ramban and the Rambam. The Rambam writes that the purpose of Korbanos in general, all Korbanos are as a barrier against Avodah Zarah. Jews would see their neighbors offering sacrifices to their gods, and the Jews would be jealous of this. Now, we don't understand that because we don't understand animal sacrifice, but the Jews would be jealous. So the Torah said, okay, you also have an animal sacrifice. You also have Korbanos. That's what the Rambam writes in Moreh Nevuchim. Naturally, it's a very controversial idea. How could you say the whole purpose of a korban is only as a barrier against Avodah Zarah? Cain and Hevel brought korbanos. There was no Avodah Zarah in the world. Noach after the Mabel brought a korban. There was no Avodah Zarah in the world. And in general, it says that a korban is Reach Dichayach. There's a pleasantness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a korban. So how could you say it's a barrier against Avodah Zarah? This is the kasha the Ramban asks on the Rambam. We don't see that they had any taiva. We only see they understood that it's a reach nichayach, but now it's a taiva for avodah zarah. Well, if it's a good thing, then we understand it. If it's just a silliness of avodah zarah, it'll be more difficult. Right? And anyway. See, that doesn't explain all korbanos, because not every korban is for a sin. What you're saying is true about a chatas and an asham, but many korbanos are not for sins at all. They're a shlamim, they just sacrifice. The korban Pesach is not for a sin. So in the Sefer Tzitz HaSadi, he says beautifully, he says, any korban that it says Reach Nichayach, the Ramban is right. It's a korban that's Reach Nichayach LaHashem. Korban Pesach, to an extent, the Korbanos and the Bamis as well, is a gedder against Avodah Zarah. And we find this idea that the Korban Pesach was a gedder against Avodah Zarah because when they were commanded to take it, they immediately said, "Hey, Nizbach, as Toyavas Mitzrayim, Hey, Nizkaluna," was brought, sort of as a barrier against Avodah Zarah. We find also when Yeshio HaMelech brought Klal Yisrael to Tshuva from Avodah Zarah, that the pasuk describes a Korban Pesach that he brings, and it says there was no Korban Pesach like this since the days of David. So what was so special about that Korban Pesach? That was a Korban Pesach that was brought in a time of tshuva for Avodah Zarah. So this is the idea that the Korban Pesach is a geder. What the Rambam says, the Ramban disagrees with, holds true by the Korban Pesach as being a geder against Avodah Zarah. And that's the explanation of this pasuk, that by bringing a Korban Pesach, Hayayim Galoisias Cherpas Mitzrayim Me'aleichem, the Cherpas Mitzrayim, the shame, the Avodah Zarah Mitzrayim, is taken off of you by the Korban Pesach, which is this geder against Avodah Zarah. This is the explanation. And at any rate, they call the place Gilgal on the word Galoisi. Right outside Yericha, they're about to attack Yericha. We'll translate me'avur ha'aretz, the produce of the land. I'll explain it in a minute. Matzois v'koloi be'etzem hayayim hazeh. Matzois and roasted grain be'etzam hayayim. As they ate, vayishpais haman mimacharas. The mud now came to an end, ba'ochla me'avur ha'aretz, when they ate the produce of the land, v'layayayay oidlev de Yisrael man, man was gone. V'yachla b'tvos eretz kedam b'shona hahi. Now here, the Gemara sees also a significance in this, that the obligation to eat, rather prohibition against eating chadash, is until the second day of Pesach. And the man, which lasted, machlokes the Gemara, if the man actually lasted until this day, or it actually fell until this day. One way or the other, they had man until Pesach. And on Pesach, they were allowed to eat chadash. They were allowed to eat from the new year, the crop of the new year. Until then, they were not allowed to. Because in Eretz Yisrael, everyone agrees chadash applies. Even in Chutz Laaretz, not everyone's makpin a chadash. But in Eretz Yisrael, there's no question. And in Eretz Yisrael, they couldn't eat until the Mocharas HaPesach. Now, there's a problem here which many struggle with, and that is that the Korban Pesach is on the 14th. The Mocharas HaPesach is the 15th. It says, Vayochlo mi'avur ha'aretz mi'mocharas ha'pesach. The Chodesh is mutar on the 16th of Pesach. On the second day, we start Sfiras HaOmer on the second day of Pesach. The Omer is the second day of Pesach. And therefore, this seems to be a day off. Now, that's the difficulty here. So the Malbim suggests, Vayochlo mi'avur ha'aretz mi'mocharas ha'pesach. Avor meaning they ate from the previous year's crop. Avor is like Shana Sha'avar on the 15th. Besam Yom Zeh. And then, Vayishpa Saba Babachras, Bachla Be'avor Ares, Vayel Levnei Soman, Vayachlu B'tvuas Ares Kanam B'shanahi. Tvuas Eretz is the fresh Tvuah. And they ate from the new Tvuah subsequent to that day. And that's how the Malbim suggests. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky in Parshas Bai has a long piece to show that whenever it talks about Korbanos, the day goes day then night. We know that the Klal Yisrael is night and then day. That's how our calendar works. He shows that when it talks about Korbanos in general, it goes day and then night. Because Korbanos are generally eaten liyom v'lalayla. So that Mibachras HaPesach could well mean the night after, which he translates as being the 16th of Nisan. So that's how he sort of avoids the problem. So, this Haftarah, which is supposed to be at the Korban Pesach, has 8 or 9 psukim about Bris Mila, and 2 psukim about Chodosh, and 2 psukim about the Korban Pesach, right? It's supposed to be at the Korban Pesach. Vayhi b'yais Yeshua b'yirichai has still 3 more psukim to the parak. Another lesson which has nothing to do with the Korban Pesach specifically. Vayhi b'yais Yeshua b'yirichai. So Yeshua is encamped, and they do the Bris Mila near Yirichai, and they're ready to go do battle against Yirichai. Vayisa einav, and he looks up, vayar, v'hinei ish oibed l'negdai. He sees a man. This man was actually an angel of God. Standing opposite him, the charbay shlufa biyadai, with a drawn sword. Vayelch Yeshua elav ayemelai. Yeshua approaches him and says, Halonu ata imlitzareinu. On whose team are you? Are you on our side or are you on our enemy's side? Now, this, what? He recognized that he was an angel. The Halonu ata imlitzareinu became a part of biblical literature. When you talk to people, that it became an expression, Halonu atem litzareinu, whose side are you on? If President Bush, after 9/11, what did he say? You're either with us or you're against us. Right? It's the lahavdol. That's his expression. Vayomer, loy, ken yisart tzva Hashem. I am an angel from God. Atov osi, and now I have come. Vayipal Yeshua el ponav arza v'yishtochu vayomer loy. What have you come to tell your servant? Take your shoes off your feet. Very mysterious appearance of an angel and a very unclear lesson. So the Gemara elaborates, the Torah Shabbat elaborates upon this. And he says that he told Yeshua, and Yeshua in his haste to prepare for battle, he said, you did two things wrong. He says, yesterday you didn't bring the carbon tamid. And he also told him that they're so busy getting ready for war that they're not learning. And Yeshua says, which one is the most serious infraction, the bittul of the Talmud or the learning? He said, Atobasi. Yesterday when you didn't bring the carbon, I didn't come. I came today. I came because there was a bittul of Liman HaTorah, and that was the Musar. That even when Klal Yisrael goes to battle, they have to learn. So it says that they spent that night, Be'emek, they spent that night in the valley of Yerichai, which Chazal understand to mean Oibek Shal Torah. They sat and they learned Pasmada after this happened. Now the question is, Isaac for mitzvah, Potter for mitzvah. They really had an out as far as the sitting and learning was concerned. Isaac mitzvah, Potter for mitzvah is more than that. It's that Liman HaTorah is nitcha for any mitzvah she'ef shayi de'acherim. Anytime you do a mitzvah, you push with your learning to have a Pesach Seder or to have or to daven or do any mitzvah. There is a Shulchan Aruch HaRav in his Kuntrus on Hilchas Talmud Torah. He says, incredible insight. He brings the Rambam's Lashon. The Rambam writes that a person should get married young unless he's sitting and learning. If he's sitting and learning, he can push it off. And the Rambam's language is you're allowed to push it off because when you're Isaac in a mitzvah, you're putter from another mitzvah. The Koshkei Talmud Torah. That's the Rambam's Lashon. That's a very Shvera Lashon. Because the Talmud Torah, we don't say Isaac per mitzvah, putter per mitzvah. If you're busy learning, that's not an excuse to not check lulav, or that's not an excuse to not read Kriya Shema. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav has an interesting insight. He says that the quantity of time learning is nitcha for a mitzvah. But the quality, the darga, the level, if a person is going to lose a level in learning, it's going to be more of a qualitative difference. He's allowed to push off a mitzvah for learning. Marriage, it is that way. If somebody knows he gets married, he's going to have to go out to work. He can't afford to sit in kollel. So he's going to have a different darga in learning. So he's allowed to push off his marriage in order to be able to sit and learn. And the same way here, for Klal Yisrael to enter Eretz Yisrael and not be involved in learning immediately was a yurida for Klal Yisrael. And that's why the angel rather told him, but this is Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael has to be nikna with Liman HaTorah. So during the war, it's true, but in the preparation, they had to set aside time to learn. That was the musar of this Navi.
That should have been their preparation. To learn.
That should have been their preparation. Very good. Okay, the Torah ends. Yericho sogeres ubisugeres b'pnei b'nei Yisrael and yaitzei ve'imba. Yericho, as you know, had an extraordinary wall. The wall was as tall as it was wide. It wasn't just a wall; it was a barrier. It was as wide as it was tall. The Gemara says, "Vayihi Hashemus Yeshua v'yishamei b'chol ha'aretz." We end by skipping some 25 pesukim to end with this beautiful pasuk. Hashem was with Yeshua, v'hi shamay b'chol ha'aretz, and his fame spread throughout the land. That's the haftarah of the first day of Pesach. I guess next year, Yitzhak Hashem, unless we're in Eretz Yisrael, we have no haftarah the second day of Pesach. We'll learn the next carbon Pesach, this one is Sefer Malachi.